Well, this is an auspicious evening, and it's one in which, if we'll admit it, there is some tension. On the one hand, we gather here for the first time in this style of worship, which is both ancient to our tradition and new to Christ Church Cathedral. We sing and we pause and we pray in ways that intend to remind us of God's deep peace, which runs like water from a sacred well beneath all of the things on the surface of our lives that would disrupt God's peace. On the other hand, we observe today the 15th anniversary of that singular event of our lifetimes, which spoke so powerfully that we had and still have difficulty finding words to counteract the horror of September the 11th, 2001. In 2005, Richard Lisher wrote a book entitled The End of Words. His thesis was that our world has become so violent and so unpredictable, so chaotic and insane, that we have lost the meaning inherent in our words. Words are now but tools in the hands of those who wish to manipulate other people. As a lover and a crafter of words, it pains me to agree with this notion. But too often today, publicly and privately, words are combined to fool and frighten and whip into frenzy. And each time this happens, we feel like that 100th sheep in Jesus' parable, a bit more lost. Religious words can be among the most manipulated, perhaps never more so than on and immediately after 9/11. Some during those days invoked the Prince of Peace to sound drums of war. On the opposite extreme, some utilized the gospel to suggest that we brought terror on ourselves, as if we deserved that awful day. Both extremes felt emotionally like being cast ever further from the sheep herd, more and more lost in some strange wilderness. You remember that feeling? But the most abused religious words of all spoken on and around 9/11 were the words of the hijackers. On United Airlines Flight 93, the terrorists were recorded saying, as they killed those pilots, and as they ultimately crashed that plane in a Pennsylvania field, quote, "In the name of God, most merciful, the most compassionate, O God, the most gracious. Former Archbishop of Canterbury, Rowan Williams, says, "These religious words are, in the cold light of day, the words of murderers, used in order to turn a martyr's drama out of a crime." So in a world where the most holy and sacred words are used so cynically, so dishonestly, how can we ever put our faith in words at all? Lest we forget, there were other words that day, from airplanes and from those towers, dozens of trapped people telephoned family members and friends and sometimes mere strangers, anyone they could get on the other end of the line. And invariably, the words spoken on those calls are words of love. It isn't surprising that some of these calls express panic. What is surprising is the large percentage of them that evidence a remarkable calm. even as steel collapses in wrecked buildings or hijackers scream in the background. The recipients of the calls, they have fear in their voices. But the callers' voices are often steely and intent. A newlywed says to her father, "Dad, you have to find Sean and tell him that I love him." A young professional says to his mother, "I love you no matter what happens." The voicemail message a woman leaves for her husband records, "There's a lot of smoke, and I just wanted you to know that I love you. Always." These words overpower those other words of war and blame and terror. Archbishop Williams says of those trapped in the Twin Towers and on the plains, "Someone who is about to die in terrible anguish makes room in his mind for someone else, for the grief and the terror of someone he loves. He does what he can, even in that moment, to take some atom of that pain away from the other by the inarticulate message on a mobile phone." These non-religious words are testimony to what religious language is supposed to be about: the triumph of pointless, gratuitous love. The affirming of faithfulness even when there is nothing to be done and nothing to be salvaged. Perhaps never have we felt more like lost sheep than on September the 11th, 2001, when the planes crashed and the towers crumbled. But we know that love never stops seeking the lost sheep. We know that love does not give up. We discover again in those telephone messages that even lost in the wilderness, even on the smoky 89th floor, even nose down on a doomed airplane, love abided. And what is love? But God, and specifically the incarnate Jesus, over whom death has no power, with love, with the God of Christ, with that word, we can emerge from any wilderness, found and embraced by the well of life. In my memory, the word triumph was used too often around 9/11. But what would it mean if we said with Archbishop Williams that love triumphed that day? Pointless, gratuitous love. Love that does not panic. Love that does not run away. Love that seeks the lost. Love that is faithful in the face of any threat. As we prayerfully reflect on this 15 years past, and as we look forward into all those wildernesses still ahead, we'll know which words are those of the God of love. And when we hear them, we will remember that we are never lost. Amen.